Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. We're back for our second episode today, and the reason why is because there was a scheduling error that I made. I'm so sorry, everybody, but we are on the air to take your calls, and we're going to be getting to your calls in just a minute. I think, Neil, we're going to also maybe discuss a little further the human aura, which was our topic of conversation earlier today. But I'm trying to get into the queue here and into our studio. Hold on just a moment because we have a caller waiting. And normally we take calls after we talk. But because our radio show was interrupted today, we're going to go ahead and speak with our caller first. And this is a caller we have from 203, area code 203. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Oh, hi. Sorry. I'm here.
Oh, good. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Michelle.
I thought that was you, Michelle. Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Good, I guess. I think I'm getting closer to finding work, and some things have come up recently that sound pretty good.
Okay, Michelle, Michelle, before you go on, I want you to, you're 1129, I believe, but I don't remember the year of your birth.
Yeah, 56.
Okay, 56. Yeah, I thought there was a lot of 11s involved. But, okay, so go ahead with your statement about what you wanted to talk about today.
Well, you know, I've been looking forever, and I really need to find something quickly. So the ultimate question is, when do you think I'm going to find something? But I think there's, like, a few things in the mix right now. One is close by to home. One is, like, middle California. And one is East Coast, actually in Rochester. So it's, like, a new one that came up.
Oh, wow. So a lot of different options. Okay. Did you hear that, Neil?
So repeat that.
Several again. Different options. So one is closer to home, then the other is in the middle of California. Is that what you?
Yeah, it's like smack in the middle.
What area?
Oxnard. Like Camarillo, Oxnard, yeah.
So that's like, yeah. All right. Like, isn't that Paso Robles area?
Isn't it right past Thousand Oaks?
Ah, okay, so that's closer to us. And then Rochester, New York was the other option.
Really diverse places.
Major.
But what kind of work is this, Michelle?
I'm an engineer, and I work in the defense. I want to get back to the defense industry.
Are you still, Michelle, are you still employed at the job you were working at last time we talked to you?
I am, but just barely, because they know I'm going to leave. So.
Okay. All right.
Do you have a desire to stay closer to home as we speak?
At this point, not really, because I think it's a little overwhelming. The cost of living has just gotten to me.
Yeah. Well, when I heard everything that you were speaking of, the zone that hit me that with the most intensity was Oxnard.
With Rochester?
Oxnard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, around there. Yeah, Camarillo, yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice area. It's relatively not that expensive. But depending on where you live, there's different pockets. Camarillo is a little bit more expensive. Oxnard is not as expensive, but there's areas in there. Of course, you know, you're wanting to get away from the area you're in. New York's very high. You need money. I mean, it's a struggle. The climate is a little bit more challenging, but that's what I'm getting. And it could be that I'm seeing in Oxnard, I'm seeing six major divisions. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to you or if you can construe your brain into thinking that there are six divisions, six people. Is there any element of the number six in Oxnard as you know it as we speak?
I don't know yet because there are different groups, and I haven't really technically interviewed with anybody, but my background really fits it, so people are excited, but I haven't interviewed.
There's a specific company name. It could be the person that's interviewing. Their name might work out to a six. They could be a six. The company's name could work out to a six. But, I mean, without that information, it would be kind of hard to determine where it's coming from.
Are they soliciting you, or did they appeal to you?
So far, yeah.
What did they do, send something out to request an interview?
It's like a contracting firm, so they saw my resume. They said, yeah, you're a really great fit. We're going to present you to the customer, and I am a really great fit. And they're not just like any contracting firm. They have an in there. So.
And of the three choices that you gave me before you spoke to me, was Oxnard one of the more powerful ones or what?
Yeah, I mean, even though I haven't even been down there, just looking at, you know, like the cost of living, the area, the job itself, I think it would work out really well.
Mm-hmm. Where what state is she in?
She's in California, in the Silicon Valley.
Oh, well, you should know the area.
She doesn't because she moved here from back east, like 2 years ago, was it, Michelle?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Oxnard is a nice area. It's near Thousand Oaks. There's a lot of it's a nice area. It's pleasant. It really is. And the climate's nice and all that. So
hello? Did I lose you? I seem to have lost you. Hello? Somehow I lost you.
Sarah, can you hear us?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So just, you know, if that happens in the future, just know that we're trying to get back to you. Don't hang up, which you didn't do. But sometimes there's like an interruption on the server or something that makes us inaudible, but we're back. Okay. To wrap up,
Oxnard. Let's go with that first. That's the vibe that I would have you connect to as we speak. So to answer your question immediately, Oxnard.
Yeah, that's the best one. Okay.
Okay,
well,
Michelle.
Well, they offer me something. But okay, thank you.
Yeah, let us know what happens with the interview. And yes, we look forward to finding out how this progresses.
Yeah, I didn't even hear back from the other one in Massachusetts. I mean, no word, actually. So you're just stalling around.
Oh, well... Let's put out energy for Oxnard. I think that's where I'm feeling the intensity. It could change, but that's what I'm getting right now.
Okay,
great. Okay.
All right. Thanks, Michelle.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye. Bye. You're welcome. Okay, we have a caller from 201. Neil. Good morning. Good afternoon. Hi. Sorry. Force of habit. It's not morning.
Hi, it's Gunjan.
Oh, hey. Hi, Gunjan.
Hi. How are you, Neil? How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah, I just wanted to see what you picked up without mentioning any names and, you know, going into detail about my situation.
Well,
do you want a birth date? She's 9/20/81.
Yeah. Well, I
is
think
anything
some,
wrong?
No.
He's just
no,
thinking for
no,
a minute.
No, I'm just got to, you know, I'm picking up some mild tension, all right?
Okay.
But nothing too alarming, but mild tension. I am picking up something about a driving too fast. Now, I know in your history, we already know where that's coming from in another context. But this isn't context. This is something else, something about driving too fast. It's coming from another area, Gunjan. And I'm not sure if it's coming from this person's direction, but there's something about it could be underlying tension. This person may currently be experiencing, but I'm getting tension around this person, but it's not to be taken personally on your part, but there is tension around this person.
Okay. All right. I did have a flat tire.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, when was that?
That was a couple of days ago.
Well, you know, I mean, part of what I'm picking up could be what I'm getting, some of it, not all of it, but some of it. And mm-hmm. Was your flat tire the result of what? Did you run over something or what?
No, they said there was a nail.
That would be running over something.
Well, yeah.
unless someone vandalized your car, but I doubt that.
No. You're right.
Yeah. Unless it fell out of your toolkit.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, Gunjan, part of what I'm picking up could be grabbing some of that energy. But, and so we're getting an energy around vehicles and cars, if nothing else. So right now, that's what I'm getting. I know I can't go into specifics, but that's what I'm getting right now. But there might be some personal connection since you did come back and say, hey, with my car, I've got a nail on my tire. So that's not exactly speeding, but it does have to do with driving and rolling over something and that kind of thing. I don't know, you know, to me that on this other person's end, the driving would be it connected to anxiety. So there's something that I'm picking up that's a little bit of tension and anxiety coming from this person, but I think it's coming from a field opposite from anything you're personally involved in.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, unless Neil picks up anything else.
Well,
that's...
You know, I mean, we can't go into specific details. So, you know, I mean, unless you have experienced tension on this person's part or felt anything today or yesterday that you could go, you know, I'm picking up on that vibe too. I mean, that might add to our diet.
Without saying too much, yes, there is tension. There's a little bit of fighting, arguing, I think.
Okay. Between you and the person or the person and somebody else?
No.
Between you and the person? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm picking up on that a little bit. So, you know, you got to want to nip that in the bud real quickly. I wouldn't worry about it too much, but... you know, my statement was it wasn't coming from you personally, but it seems that everything I'm saying has validity, but it's involving you too. So maybe where we have to make the adjustment is it might be a little bit more personal than what I'm picking up on, but I am picking up on accurate information at the same time. So there is something a little bit personal going on in your situation, perhaps, but it could be coming, the tension could be arising deeply from another area, and you're just kind of experiencing it at the tail end. So, you know, I'm not too sure about which one that is, but that's where we stand right now. But it's nothing that I would be extremely worried about.
Okay. All right. Don't run over another nail on your drive.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. All right, Neil. So we're kind of in reverse today, or at least for this part of the day, our second half of our first show we did earlier, a 15-minute show.
We're in reverse. Maybe we'll go over a nail.
Hopefully not. So we're going to, let's get back, because we don't have any more callers at the moment. So let's get back into the conversation about auras, which, where did we leave off? I don't remember.
We were talking about the content of auras and energy and the third eye and how it was perceived more in ancient times because the third eye was more active. And today, you know, the question was, can you see an aura or halo in the dark?
Well, that wasn't the premise of the show. That was just a question that came up during the course of the last show.
I don't know exactly where we were.
I think we were talking about auras, halos, and, you know, the layers of the aura and what exactly the aura is connected to. Is it connected to the physical body? Are there layers, subtle layers of the energy field outside the body that connects to physical, mental, emotional, spiritual content? Or is it simply something that exists outside the body as a separate entity, like in terms of the etheric body representing that, not really having anything to do with the physical aspects of
existence? Well, the etheric body, the emotional, the astral body, the soul, the spirit, has some connection to the physical body. But let's face it, it's superficial. The physical body is going to drop off and die.
Right.
So the true connection is not with the physical body. So therefore, the aura and the halo, whatever you want to call it,
the aura,
is not connected.
Right.
The aura is not connected to the physical body.
So the content is higher. So when you're reading an aura, for instance, when someone comes for a reading in person, do you read auras over the phone? Yes,
yeah.
Probably. You can determine what. I mean, I'm asking you, I know what the answer is, but for the listeners, what are you looking for in an aura to indicate that the person is healthy both physically and
spiritually? Good. What is on the planet Earth? Does the glow is just reflective on the mass of energy of the Earth? And that's kind of like what the halo or the aura is to the body. The body is just reflecting the shadow of a higher energy. So when you're getting into that zone, you know, there are people who are very healthy, who are very fit, who really have it all together and have horrible, horrible auras.
Because they're probably lacking some spiritual essence that they should have, right?
They may be atheists. They may just think, well, you know, you live and you die, and that's all there is, and that's it. So they have a very healthy body glow, but the soul content is really horrible. I've also encountered people who have been so sick and miserable and had such bad luck and everything. But yet when I read them through the third eye, their spirits were glowing.
Wow.
And those were people who obviously were. Well, you know, it's just like the sun can be out, right? But it could be a dull sun. It could be the sun is out, but it's cold or it's hazy or it's not warm. And then you can have a blasting sun. And it's an interaction of the atmosphere and the time of the year and all the components thereof. So when I'm dealing with an aura, I have to look at the whole solar cycle of the human being.
Right.
I'm looking at their past lives, their present, their future, where their current attitude is, where they are in their karma, their age, their situation in life. And I take all of that into account instantaneously and then read the aura and see how it's managing the earthly energies as well as transcending those energies with attitudes of faith and whatnot.
We did an interesting exercise the other night. You were having me look at the door, stand against a door and look at the door in the mirror so I could see a spirit on the door. But what ended up happening, well, I did see the spirit on the door, but what ended up also happening is me seeing my own aura. And, you know, it started extending the more I opened my third eye. It started extending very high up the door, and it was a shade of gold, actually. But I noticed a change in my aura the next day, and I know why that occurred. It actually changed to a shade of yellow more than a gold, and there was a distinct difference in that color. But, you know, there were certain factors that influenced that change, which I'm aware of and you're aware of, from a gold to a yellow, which is a more physical mm-hmm. color, a chakra color versus a spiritual color. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, you know, that subtle of a change can be observed when the third eye is open. And so, you know, people can train themselves, right, to to look at their own auras and also see the auras of others.
Yeah, you absolutely can. And that's a good point. If you can actually use the right space-time event. I mean, if you're going to look at your own aura, you might as well just set up the stage and look at it if you're going to do it that way. You can go against the white background, stand against the white background and have the proper lighting and see the energy of your aura manifest and become visible. If your third eye is open, you have to have that third eye open. So that is there. And then the fluctuation of the aura, right, will change as you go through different emotions. So there is an emotional, a very crude emotional link to the intensity of an aura and one's moods, because the moods get closer to the soul. And so does the intellect. Because but the intellect feeding the intensity of an aura would be that you're inspiring intellectual thoughts about spirituality. And that may become stimulating to the emotions. And so your emotions are really lighting up the aura itself. The lighting up of an aura, the intensity of an aura is transitory. It's not a permanent situation. It changes. It changes as much as clouds going over the sun will change the shading or the temperature of the earth. You have to kind of look at it as an interplay of all energy, and then with that core essence, of course, see how much you can control the variety of intensities within your own aura.
Right, because when the aura, I mean, when someone is activating a high spiritual essence, colors such as white, gold, maybe even light blue, would you say, or like purple in the aura can be visible,
yeah, all
but
the
transparent.
Colors are detailed. Uh-huh.
But when the person is maybe more involved in the physicality of their journey, the aura will reflect maybe lower chakra colors, things like that, or middle chakra colors. Because the soul is attached to the physical body, obviously. So the less spiritual someone is, the more that aura will reflect chakra colors.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if there's a lot of red in the intensity of the aura or the etheric realm there, some people say, well, you're very passionate, you're very sensual, you're very sexual. That could be also that you have a lot of root problems in the earth. There's mm-hmm. a lot of energy in there that you're going through a very intense period via the flushing of the body, you know, when we're embarrassed or we're frustrated or we're lying in front of somebody and that red comes out, rash comes out. It's kind of the same thing. It can flush into the energy of the spirit realm, and your aura can be infused by it. Why? Because your aura is recording that you may be filled with doubt, fear, anxiety. You may be downright lying about something, and the aura picks up that energy and holds it as part of the record of your performance on the planet.
Hmm.
So the aura does hold it. The aura does play as it's a strange energy because it does absorb your actions on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't to say that it's totally connected to your body.
Right.
But it's connected to the actions of your body. The actions of
well,
your body.
Well, just as the
feel.
Soul is connected to the actions of the body. I mean, that's why we produce karma and come back to the earth. So obviously that's going to reflect in the aura if the soul is connected, you know.
Yeah.
It's all an interplay.
And the soul, of course, is, you know, the decorative energy of the soul would be the aura. So it's sort of the appearance of the soul. It overlays the soul. And in that context, it becomes very intense, and the variety of that can be quite powerful. Now, when you dream, and you come back from the astral realm, that's a good time to check out your aura, because your aura's just got back. It's like you just took a swim in the ocean, and you have that salty energy all around you. You just were flushed with some, you know, earthly experience that was just beyond belief. Well, when the soul comes back from the astral realm, given that you weren't chased by demons left and right, or you're dealing with some kind of dark karmic situation, when the soul comes back from the astral realm, it takes on a different color that will eventually fade as the earthly consciousness is restored and you go through life. But when you first come back, it's a good time to check out your energy.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
So,
and the better that we can hold that energy of our astral journey in our aura, in our soul, the better off we're going to be in our physical walk on the planet, because
the better off
there's going to be a higher level of consciousness attached to our
And if you get
action.
Really advanced, you can actually in your aura read what you've been doing in the astral realm. So the aura will hold the content. You might see an image of what you were doing in the astral realm. You may see some script. You may see something written. You may have a revelation when you're looking at your aura and then you close your eyes. You may see other images come up in your mind's eye that you've brought back with you from the astral realm. And then those images can be later elaborated on or interpreted by somebody who knows how to
read it.
Or you might be able to do it yourself and get some revelation, some self-revelation from the event.
Okay, well, Neil, we've done our hour for the day. When you accumulate our last show and today's, and we don't have any more callers left, but we are back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and we thank our callers for joining us today and all our listeners, too. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.